It is the Spurs offseason, and there is a trickling of news coming out of the Silver and Black camp. And, of course, everybody is still waiting for Kawhi Leonard, the Spurs, to come to some sort of decision regarding that Supermax deal. Welcome to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Jeff Garcia, host of today's show, and I'll be joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast briefly. Before we begin, yes, forgive the audio quality on my end. Due to some time constraints and scheduling, unfortunately, I'm only going to be able to do this on a non-quality microphone. So I appreciate your patience with me. Yes, I have to continue working even though the Spurs are still on the offseason. But nevertheless, yeah, there's some stuff coming out of the Spurs world, if you will. Obviously, the big topic right now actually has nothing to do with Kawhi Leonard. It has to do with the Silver Dancers. I wouldn't get Joe's opinion on that situation. DeJounte Murray picked up a nice little award for himself to add to his hopefully ever-growing NBA trophy case. And then we're going to ask a very, very controversial question to close the show. With the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard still dealing with that saga, maybe the Spurs could be better off by trading him now. I know, shocking, right? We're going to get Joe's thoughts on that. But Joe, welcome back to Locked On. You've been gone for a little while. Glad to have you back. You see the things I do for you? I accommodate you, your schedule, and I get myself a crappy microphone. That's for you, Joe.
Yeah, it's good to be back, and thanks for everything that you've done. I appreciate it.
But you've been away for a while, and on the last show, we got Tyler Clerkin's opinion on the Silver Dancers situation. Now, before we get your opinion, Joe, briefly, I'm pretty sure you heard about this, listeners. The Spurs, just out of nowhere, decided to kill the Spurs Silver Dancers team. That's it. They don't longer exist. They'll be replaced by what they call a hype team, a co-ed team, where this is how they describe it. Acrobats are going to be flipping everywhere, jumping and everything. Basically, it's going to be like a circus. Think of team energy times 10. That's pretty much what it has, what it's going to be if you've been to a Spurs home game. Needless to say, the Spurs fan community were shocked. I was shocked. I'm pretty sure Joe was shocked. And there's been some backlash. Even former Spurs Silver Dancers are still scratching their heads. They've spoke to the Washington Post, the founder, saying that they're just in bewilderment of what just happened. Joe, this came out of nowhere. First of all, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'll be honest with you guys. I'm going to tell you a quick story real fast. About 2 years ago, I was invited by the Spurs to sit down in a meeting with them because they wanted to talk about this connection that they said supposedly that they didn't have between the fans and the organization. What we were talking about is I had a friend of mine who's an artist, and we were going to go ahead and start doing some great things between the Spurs and the community. And it wasn't just us. It was a movement that had started back then. And it was the advent now that you see of artwork all over San Antonio, the murals, and all the things that are going on now was kind of the spearhead or was the forefront as far as what we were talking about. In that meeting, they had told me that there's a disconnect between the organization and the fans, that they're looking for new ways to kind of improve that relationship. Okay, well, fast forward now, they decide to do away with the Silver Dancers. Your relationship isn't going to get any better if you continue alienating the fans, you know? And the Silver Dancers have been around since I believe the early 90s. I believe they first started in 92.
26 years in existence.
Yeah, since 92, they've been around. And the Baseline Bums have been around as well. And granted, you know, times are changing. Things are you know, getting, they have to evolve, you know, but just blindsiding everybody and just like, boom, we're going to do away not only with the Silver Dancers, but with Team Energy too, and make this supposed new hype team. To me, that's asinine. Why don't you ask the fans what they want instead of, once again, doing what you think is best? You know, they didn't have any feedback, I don't believe, from the fan base that we know of. Nobody asked on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, on any social media platforms, which the Spurs have a huge following, and asked the fans, what would you like to see? Because the time has come for us to do away with the Silver Dancers and Team Energy. What would you guys like to see out there on the floor? No, they just say, we're going to kind of mingle them together, but we're going to disband the whole group. You know, it's like you're going to do away with the Beatles and you're going to bring them back and it's going to be still called the Beatles, but you're going to have a whole new lineup. It just doesn't seem right. It just seems weird that whole situation, you know, and I feel bad for the girls because a lot of them, they were really invested in this. You know, it was because of all the work they do in the community and for the fans. They're the first people that you see when you go through the AT&T Center, when you're going through the main entrance. They're there greeting you and they're saying, hey, how's it going? And I've got to know a lot of them because I go to so many games and they knew me. They knew my kids. They knew my daughter. You know, they were always saying hi. So it's a sad thing to see. You know, it was just a dirty play, you know?
Yeah, it definitely was out of left field. And when the news hit, the Spurs Sports and Entertainment themselves, still, as of this recording, have not given a reason why they did it. They did release a press statement about the new hype team, but they have not yet released some sort of press statement about the ending of the Silver Dancers or the reasons behind it. Of course, it was just reported, and it looks like it has been confirmed by the Silver Dancers themselves that quote-unquote lack of fan interest. I find that very shaky, to say the least, considering that I've covered the Spurs at the AT&T Center before, and I see how packed it gets pregame as fans are surrounding the Dancers, and of course, how the fans applaud the team when they did perform at halftime or during timeouts, et cetera, et cetera. They were always at events, never any type of drama out of their camp. So seems to me, in my opinion, that maybe, just maybe, there's something bigger behind all this. We shall see. I don't know. Maybe this is just the PC world. Let's be honest, Joe. They didn't really dress family appropriate, if you know what I mean. and, of course, they're surrounded by kids. Maybe they just got the Spurs Sports Entertainment just got caught up in that aspect of it. Nevertheless, it is what it is. As of right now, the Spurs Silver Dancers are no more. As mentioned in the last show, and I'll repeat it again, there has been a petition to hopefully urge the Spurs to reconsider the decision to bring back the Dancers. You can find that at the Spurs Zone on News4SanAntonio.com and Fox29SanAntonio.com. But there it is. As you know, no more Silver Dancers. All right, let's go on to some big, better and brighter news. Young Murray, DeJounte Murray, picked up a huge accolade this week as he has been named to the NBA All-Defensive Second Team. He becomes the ninth Spurs player in Spurs history to make an All-Defensive Team, joining the likes of Tim Duncan, Bruce Bowen, Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green, et cetera, et cetera. David Robinson, I mean, he's joined some elite company in that list. Pretty much safe to say this was well-deserved for Murray.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It was well-deserved for Murray. I mean, he had been playing really great basketball for the latter part of the season, and it's well-deserved. You know, I remember the one game when he was guarding his mentor, so to speak, and LeBron James. And LeBron James was giving him props, you know, saying, you know, he was playing good defense on him and kind of giving him some tips. So I thought that was outstanding because we forget, even though DeJounte Murray has a very small frame, he's not afraid of anything, man. You got to give the kid props. He'll get in your face and he'll go up against the big boys. I mean, I like his tenacity. I like that out of him. So it's well-deserved.
Yeah, defensively, the Spurs were one of the best during the regular season, and most of that was because of the play of Murray. You look at what he did just individually for San Antonio on the defensive end. He had, 400 rebounds, 90 steals, 30 blocks this past season. He helped the Spurs pretty much set all types of defensive milestones for them. He helped pace the Spurs defense that allowed 99.8 points per game and tied for the best in the league. Remember, the Spurs defense held opponents under 100 points in 42 games last year. The Spurs, as you and I were well on top of that, Joe, the Spurs defense was pretty much one of the bigger reasons why the Spurs had a pretty good record despite not having Kawhi Leonard and dealing with the injury bug. You know, when you look at this, Joe, is this a situation where Murray basically is starting to become that player that maybe the Spurs can rely on more so next season? Do you think this is going to catapult him into a different level next year? I mean, how do you think this is going to impact him and his play heading into next season?
Encouragement is the best motivator. And basically all the hard work that he's put in, he's seen that everybody's noticing that, and they're giving him accolades now. You know, they're giving him praise. I think that is going to pay dividends for him moving forward, because that's only going to make him work that much harder to improve his game and improve his defense. So I'm looking forward to seeing great things out of this young player in DeJounte Murray. Hopefully he works, you know, in the offseason to kind of bulk up a little bit, and, you know, maybe he can even be a more ferocious player out there on the court, you know, because he already has everything as far as the tools that he needs to be great. He just needs to be, you know, needs to bulk up a little bit. So maybe hit the weight room in the off season, and he'll come back looking like the Hulk.
Well, hopefully he doesn't get too big, so that we don't want him to lose any of that quickness, swiftness, and agility.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, yes, he does need to add some size to his frame. Not too much size. Just get stronger. Maybe have his core and his base a lot stronger for him to withstand an 82-game and a season plus playoffs. And not to mention this, too, if for some crazy reason the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard don't get things settled, then he will definitely become a bigger focal point of the Spurs attack on both ends of the court next season. We know he can do it defensively. The NBA recognized that, and hopefully he will now begin working more on his offensive game. That still needs some work, in my opinion, Joe. He's good at defense. He's only going to get better, but I still think, Joe, that maybe his offense can use a little fine-tuning. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, and definitely his offense could use some fine-tuning. He's great when he's driving to the rim, you know, but he needs to, I think, add a more consistent three-point shot to his arsenal and also work on that jump shot, you know, because when you're young, you always want to drive to the lane. But as you start to get a little older, you learn, I don't always have to drive to the lane. A jump shot, if I can put that in my arsenal, a teardrop, a three-point shot, that's going to save you, you know, if you can use that as a tool, you know, because longevity is something that these young players need to look forward to. If they want to be, like, you know, playing into their 40s like a Manu Ginobili or a Vince Carter kind of player, you know? So that's something that he definitely needs to look into.
Yeah, but we're not here to put the spotlight on DeJounte Murray's shortcomings. We're here right now to put the spotlight on his excellence on the defensive end.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, Murray. Hopefully he only gets better. Joe, anything else to add?
No, hopefully he does get better. We're looking forward to seeing him out on the court this season.
And if you follow him on social media, he's definitely hitting the weight room, and he's recognizing that he does need to add size to his front. And of course, it's gonna be a long Spurs offseason. It's already feeling like it's been forever since we've seen the Spurs. So he'll have plenty of time to only improve this offseason and show what he can do into next season. All right. Whew. Speaking of defense, how do we segue into this? Kawhi Leonard. Yes. Look, as far as Kawhi Leonard, the Spurs front is concerned, there hasn't really been nothing much to really report except for some ridiculous. I mean, Joe, let's put it this way. For some reason, everybody got all crazy earlier this week, or I think it was the end of last week, because of a report that came out simply just saying that the Spurs will meet with Kawhi Leonard in the summer in July. Something that has been reported about since March 2018. And even if you missed that report, you still can sit back and say, well, yeah, they are. I think Bleacher Report wrote an article about it. I think everybody went crazy. But that has been the quote-unquote little news that came out about the Spurs-Kawhi saga. But nevertheless, Joe, oh, and by the way, I had that already up on the Spurs Zone on News 4 since March 2018. So when I saw that, I was like, why is everybody freaking out about this? It's been out for a long time. Am I right, Joe? Am I wrong?
Everything that we're seeing right now is like you're saying, it's been out for a long time. It's just a rehash of the old info because there's nothing new coming out or nothing new to report on.
Yeah, there's nothing to report on. So let's put it this way, if Joe doesn't mention it or I don't write about it, don't even worry about it, listeners, trust me. But that still segues into a bigger discussion that Joe and I are going to have right now. And it's simply this, look, we know what the drama is. I'm not going to rehash it for you. Joe's not going to do it for you. You know what's going on between the Spurs and Kawhi. But with all this drama, Joe, I start thinking, you know what? Do you think maybe, just maybe, as crazy as this may sound, maybe trading Kawhi might be the best choice for the Spurs, short-term and long-term? What is your position?
My position is it's a tough decision to make. You know, that's why we don't get paid the big bucks to be in the front office. You know, if I was a betting man, I'd have to say that right now the Spurs are at that crossroads. They're either going to go with Kawhi and offer him the Supermax contract, or they're going to decide to let the whole thing blow up and rebuild it now. You know, they're at that point. They're at that tipping point. So they're either going to go one way or the other. Now, in my honest opinion, and I mean, you're well connected with everybody in the media, you know, and I hear a lot of things here too. It looks more and more, Jeff, honestly, that Kawhi might not be here with the San Antonio Spurs. You know, that the Spurs might actually have to start looking to the future. But we really don't know until we see something, you know, come July that, oh, they're going to offer him the deal or he's going to be traded, you know. But if I was a betting man, off of everything that I've seen and heard, I honestly think that parting ways would be the best for both parties. You know, that's just my honest opinion.
You know, I sit back and I look about this, think about the situation, the question I'm posing, and a big part of me says, I think the Spurs might be better off trading him. And here's why. Now, before you start killing me, listeners, just hear me out. We obviously see that there is a disconnect. We see there's a little bit of a mess between the two sides, the Kawhi and the Spurs. Okay, fine. It's like when you get in an argument with your girlfriend. You have a bad argument, okay, and you start ignoring each other, and it's a trickle of civility here and there, but you're still at a distance. And then when you're finally forced to meet and talk and maybe fix things, it's kind of awkward. It's kind of like, okay, we got to make concessions, and, you know, if you're a guy, you know, you got to suck up your pride and, you know, do what's best for the relationship, and same thing for the girl. And, you know, it leaves a little awkwardness, a little tense. It's a good little tense. And then from that point moving forward, everybody's on eggshells. And, you know, well, I don't want to start it up again. And I don't want to get another argument with my boyfriend or my girlfriend, my partner, whoever. So you start thinking, like, okay, fine. Well, you know what? Is this, you know, I start looking at the situation, Joe, and I say, well, you know what? I think history does have a situation where maybe trading the best player is beneficial. Look at the Dallas Cowboys. They traded Herschel Walker.
Oh.
To the Minnesota Vikings, and they got a slew of picks. I mean, they pretty much raped the Vikings, and that turned into multiple championships, turned into Emmitt Smith, turned into Troy Aikman, it turned into Super Bowl titles. And yeah, maybe trading at that time, Walker, who was considered one of the best running backs in the league, was almost like eye-opening. Why are the Cowboys doing that? And guess what? And lo and behold, it actually paid off for Dallas in the long run. Look, Kawhi Leonard, he's a great player. I'm not saying I want him out of town. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just simply just thinking about this question. If the Spurs were able to trade him and get a slew of picks, a slew of the young players, and rebuild kind of like a soft rebuild around LaMarcus and DeJounte and move forward, maybe that's best. Look, they can't even free up the money. They didn't have to give him that $219 million extension. They can pocket that to chase other big-name free agents. they could maybe just to get rid of a headache. I mean, what if we don't know? I mean, we hear that Kawhi Leonard is a quiet guy, and he is. And I had the, I guess, opportunity to talk with him, even though it's always lopsided on my end. But, you know, starting over with using Kawhi Leonard as a piece to move and getting a bunch of things, picks and players that I mentioned in the exchange, and not to mention this, Joe, we don't know how effective he's going to be. If this really is about his injury and nothing more, nothing less, just simply about this degenerative injury that he has, that it's always going to be there, why not trade him? Well, maybe his quote-unquote stock is hot right now, and get something as opposed to giving him $219 million, and then he's back on the court, and he's still not that MVP candidate we saw prior to Zha Zha taking him out by undercutting him. Joe, I think this, I mean, am I crazy to think that might be the safer bet?
No, it's not. I would think that would be the safer bet. You're going to throw $219 million at a player who's had this nagging quadriceps injury, and not just this season that he's missed most of the season. He only played mm-hmm. 9 games. But in past seasons, this is something that has come up, and you know, he's missed games in the last couple of seasons as well. So this isn't just a new injury. This is a recurring injury, and it puts a big question mark on, do you want to invest so much money in a player that looks like he's kind of injury prone? I mean, if I was the Spurs, I would want a safer bet. I would start rebuilding for the future. You already have a young nucleus of talent, and you can only, if you invest in them, they're going to get better. And if you surround them with quality players, this team could make some serious runs, not just, you know, in a year or two from now, but deep into the future. And I think that is going to pay off big for them. And what I'm worried about is right now the Spurs are at this tipping point, not just with the team and the nucleus of talent that they have, but also they're at a tipping point with the fans. You know, with the Silver Dancers and them, they're letting them go, and some of the questionable moves that they've made in the past. The thing is if you can't keep these fans happy and keep them coming to the games, because fans only want to pay their hard-earned money to see a team that's winning. You know, if they can't continue this winning tradition here, my biggest fear is the fans will stop going and supporting the team, and before we know it, we lose the Spurs, the only professional sports organization that we have here in San Antonio. If that was to happen, the city would be devastated as well as the fans. So right now,
yep,
they need to do something to get back on the winning track. And right now, yeah, I don't believe Kawhi Leonard is the safe bet.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the Spurs are in a situation where it's just simply win-win. Look, if it doesn't work out between Kawhi and the organization, and he passes in the 219, or the Spurs simply don't give him the 219, and he takes that as a slap in the face and demands a trade, I'm pretty sure teams will be lining up, as they have been reportedly lining up, in case that does happen. I mean, you know, the Lakers, you hear the Clippers, you hear Charlotte, you just hear a bunch of teams knocking on the Spurs' door, just saying, hey, we're here in case something happens. So the Spurs won't have an issue about that. But if it does stay, then great. You have one of the best players in the league still wearing silver and black uniform, not going to a rival Western Conference team or going to an East team that's only going to bolster them, like maybe a Boston, as many things like would be the team to give the Spurs what they want for Kawhi Leonard. So it's win-win, but even if we get to that question of is it win-win, if you just take a step back and look at it and be like, okay, look, this is just not working out as of right now, according to the multiple reports we've seen. I mean, Joe, I mean, we've heard that some reports that he wants out now, to even players and ex-players saying that he looks California-bound. Looks like the signs are pointing to that he could be leaving, and I'm bracing myself already, Joe, for the fact that he is. I'm picking that side already, but things are not going to work out.
The heart's telling me that he's going to leave, man. So you got to brace yourself.
Yeah, yeah, and so why not strike while the iron's hot? And hopefully the Spurs are talking to him now, engaging his mind and trying to figure out where he's at right now. And they feel that, you know what, it doesn't look like he's going to sign on the dotted line. If we do offer him the $219 million extension, then I'm on the phone right now, RCB, I'm like, hey, Boston, what's up? Hey, Lakers, what's up? Hey, Nets, what's up? You know you got some picks hiding in your back pocket there, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe, just maybe. It's just a question, listeners. I'm not advocating for this. It's just simply a question. Should the Spurs trade Kawhi Leonard maybe to benefit the short and long term? Because a short-term deal is going to suck, but long-term it could, oh my God, it could reap so much fruit down the line.
Yeah, possibly even keep the team here in San Antonio.
Yeah, let's face it too, the NBA is a young league right now. I mean, look at the Celtics. Look at them. They're fighting for their lives in the Eastern Conference Finals right now. Yeah, they're up as of this recording, but nevertheless, you know, they're there. You got the Warriors, a bunch of young guys in their prime, still looking like beasts. The same thing for the Rockets. The Cavs, well, we don't know about the Cavs. They're just pretty much the LeBron Cavaliers. That's all they are. But, I mean, you got Philly that's up and coming. You have, as mentioned, the Celtics.
You also have Denver, and you have Portland, and you have Utah Jazz that are getting younger and better. So,
yeah, you know, the Spurs can have a nice youth injection and maybe using Kawhi Leonard as a bait to getting younger players and draft picks to groom and get into the Spurs system at an early age, like the Murray is showing that Spurs system is working for him. I know system versus player, I'm not going there yet, but nevertheless, maybe, just something for you to think about, listener. Maybe the Spurs could be better off trading Kawhi Leonard and getting something, a big bag of parts and good quality players.
Something to work with.
Could be that. What's that, Joe?
Something to work with for the future.
Yeah. And I think more so for me, too. I think it's, looking at it, and again, it's just a business viewpoint of this. If you're going to take a business point looking into the situation, you could be thinking, as mentioned, he has, and we've heard this before, Joe, an injury that will never go away. It's always going to be there. And let's face it, two seasons ago now, I'm still thinking, you're still thinking in that mode. Two seasons ago, if you look at his history prior to the Zaza Western Conference Finals incident, he has never really had a full 82-game season under his belt. He's always had injuries. Always had injuries. And you start questioning his durability as well. And if this is something that will live with him for the rest of his life, where, let's just say, you give him $218 million, and then halfway through next season, he goes out for an extended period of time because of his right quad injury again. Oh, great. You gave him, you can hear it now, Joe. You gave him $219 million. Why would you do that? You should have traded him. And now, look, you're stuck with him at least for a year before you can trade him off that contract. You can already hear the fan base already hooting, hollering, and kicking their head and, wondering what the Spurs were thinking. So, Joe, it's just a tough decision. I still think it's a win-win, but, man, there's some times I lean towards trade him.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. We'll just have to see what happens, and hopefully come July, we'll know what the Spurs' final word is going to be. Either they're going to pay him or they're going to move forward for the future. And I just wanted to ask you one question.
Yeah.
One question mark that I have on one player in particular that I thought was always playing good during the regular season, and now it looks like he might be looking at maybe being a restricted free agent this offseason, is Kyle Anderson. What do you think is going to happen with him?
I think the Spurs would do them a favor by keeping him. He's a utility guy that's really rare to have on an NBA squad. He does a little bit of everything. I'm not comparing him to Draymond Green, no. But much like Draymond Green, who does a little bit of rebounding and defense and three-point shooting and passing, et cetera, et cetera. Kyle Anderson does the same thing, too. He's a utility guy. And I think a team needs that kind of player on the roster who is willing to give up points. And if it just means, hey, your goal tonight is just simply rebound and assist, and he can do it. His numbers were high across the board this past offseason. I think he is going to get a payday, but I think he wouldn't be a player that would break the team's bank or the Spurs' bank. And I still think that you don't get rid of a guy like that. He has multiple years under his belt in the Spurs system. He knows the system. And, you know, if the Spurs decide to get younger and younger, which they may do depending on how they use Derek White, if they do match any offers for Davis Bertans in the offseason, it's good to have a guy who's been there, done that, like Kyle. So, and he played, in my opinion, I think he played well. Even the postseason, yeah, he had his games where he was absent. But all in all, I think he did okay. He could have done a lot better. But I think you keep him, Joe. I really, really do. You?
I think we keep him, too. And the other one that I was going to ask you about is Danny Green. You know, I mean, gosh, man, I feel a certain way about him every season, kind of like Patty Mills. But to Patty Mills' credit, he played really good in the postseason. You know,
yeah, and he did.
The latter part of the season, he found his shot again. Danny Green, other than just being a good defender, if the Spurs didn't match an offer for him, I wouldn't be hurt. I think a time has come to kind of just let him go and check out the free agency option and see what's out there for him. You know, because we need somebody else. I truly believe that the Spurs need to get some players that can actually knock down three-pointers on a consistent basis. That is the advent of the way that the league has evolved, and the Spurs are lacking in that department. And they need some really quality shooters surrounding, you know, the nucleus that they have. And Danny Green's a good defender, but as far as a straight-up shooter, he's just not cutting it, man. What's your opinion about him? Keep him or let him go?
Oh, my God. He's still on the contract, right? I mean, he's on a free agent.
No, it's coming, though.
Oh, it's coming. Okay. I say you still keep him. Simply, if anything, just for that defense. I think it's so invaluable for the Spurs. You know, it's a situation where the Spurs, we saw it last season. Their defense was tops in the NBA, and Green was a part of that. And I think Spurs fans, in my opinion, got a little spoiled because of his play in 2014 versus the Heat in the finals. If you remember correctly, Joe, there was even rumbling that he could even be finals MVP. That's not a joke. Yeah. That really happened. That versus Miami in 2014. I am not kidding you, listeners. I covered that game, that whole series, and that was the murmurs throughout press world. Needless to say, I think Spurs fans saw that and said, oh, look what he's capable of doing. He could be a great two-way player, offense and defense. When actually, he's a great defender and an okay offensive player. We saw what he could even do early in the season. Remember, he was putting it on the floor, Joe, and going at the rim? And yeah. I think he's kind of going away from that. I think if he just keep on doing that, I think the Spurs will be fine. So I still say, you know, he still remains in silver and black. You don't trade a guy like that.
Yeah, what about Rudy Gay, though, man? I mean,
uh-oh, yeah.
That's one that I would hate to let go. I want to keep Rudy Gay. Yeah. If you had the option, keeping Danny Green or Rudy Gay.
Yikes. Well, if it helps the listeners, Rudy Gay did post on his Instagram a picture of him in a Spurs warm-up shirt after the season was over. So maybe he's telegraphing his thoughts. So maybe he will return. But hey, you cannot have too much wing players nowadays in the NBA. You know, those in-between players like Green and like Rudy. So I think, hey, win-win for the Spurs. But Joe, we have to table these conversations as the offseason continues. For future shows. But we want to hear what you have to say, listeners. What do you think about Murray getting the honor? What do you think about the Silver Dancers?
So join in the conversation. Let us know what you think, Spurs fans. You can reach Jeff Garcia at JeffG@SpursZone on Twitter. And you can follow me at Two Shots Podcast, which is spelled out TWOSHOTS Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, well, get ready for that, listeners. But for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked on Spurs.